Today's shir is chus for foolish language for shalom and bracha. Today's shir is mesech tiksubis daf tzadik gimel. We will begin on daf tzadik gimel on an aleph at the mishnah towards the top of the mishnah at the top of the amid. Says the mishnah, mi shayinosu shalosh noshim. Somebody was married to three women, and as Rashi points out, all three of the women's ksubis were written on the same day, and as we're going to learn, We're speaking about a location where the time that the ksuba was written is not included in the ksuba. And since that time is not included in the ksuba, if all three ksubas have the exact same date, umes, and then this husband passed away, and now the estate has to pay all three ksubas. And it says the Mishnah, ksubasa shazab mana, the ksuba of the first wife is for a mana. V'shalzu, the ksuba for the second wife is Masayim, is for 200. V'shalzu, the ksuba of the third wife is Shalosh Meis. V'ein sham elamana. And the estate entire value is just one mana. So it tells us the Mishnah, the halacha is Chalkim B'Shava. They all divide this mana equally by three. Discuss why indeed is this halacha. If one has a larger claim on the estate, because her ksuba is 300, and the other one has a much lesser claim, because her ksuba is only 100, why when we speak about the first 100, they all claim it equally. So Rav Haigoin explains, there's a famous Mishnah, in Masechta Bava Metzia. The Mishnah Masechta Bava Metzia teaches us, Shnayim Oichsim B'Talis, if two people are holding on to Talis, Ze'ay Mekula Shali, Ze'ay Mekula Shali, and each one says that the entire Talis belongs to each one of them, they divide it equally. Here too, when we speak about the first mana that's left of this estate, all three of the women are claiming that entire mana belongs to them. And since they claim that their entire mana belongs to them, it's very similar to the case that we just reviewed of Shnayim Oichs Metalis, where halacha is that it should be divided equally between the two people who are claiming that Kula Shali. The Rif takes a different approach. The Rif approach is that we know, as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem and Amasechta, that when a ksuba is written, it creates a shiba nechasim. It creates a lien, a mortgage on the husband's assets. The woman whose ksuba is a mana has a mortgage, has a lien on the husband's assets of a mana. And the woman who has 200 actually obviously has a lien for 200, but that means she also has a lien for 100, and same for the woman with the $300. So as far as the first mon is concerned, they all have an equal lien. Since they all have an equal lien, they divide it equally. Says the Mishnah further, Ha'isha Masayim, if what the estate is worth is 200 zuz, so says the Mishnah, Shamana, the first mana, the one that has the ksuba of a mana, Natalis Chamishim, and the Gemara immediately will ask, why? Here she gets Chamishim, in the previous line of the Mishnah, she only got 33 and a third. Shamasayim, the woman who has a claim for Masayim, in the Isha, and the Shel Shalashmeis, and so too, the woman who has a claim for 300, each one of them will get Shalash, Shalash, Shalzov, three gold pieces, which is the equivalent of 75 zuz. Hayasham, if the husband's estate was worth shalosh meis, 300. Shamana, the one that has a claim for a mana, will get noitalis chamishim, will get 50. The one who has a claim for masayim will get a mana, and the one who has a claim for shalosh meis will get shish shazov, which is which will be the equivalent of 150. V'chein, shalosh shetilu l'kis, says the Mishnah, three people who made a partnership, or pichsu ha'isira, and their investment either went up or down. Kach em cholkim. They divide the partnership, profit, or chas v'shalom, loss, with the same formula that the Mishnah just set forth. Ask the Gemara, as we pointed out, the Mishnah said that if, again, the husband had these three ksubas, one was worth 100, one was worth 200, and one was worth 300, and the estate that he left over was worth 200, so the Mishnah says the one that gets a shamana, the one that has the ksub of a mana, the talis chamishim, gets 50. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying that she's entitled to 50? The first line of the Mishnah said that her claim, as we explain, is only on the first 100 of assets that the husband left over. We also learned in the first line of the Mishnah that all three of them have an equal claim to that 100. And since all three of them have an equal claim to that 100, they divide that 100 into three, each one of them getting 33 and a third. So when the husband left over 200, so as we're learning, when the husband leaves over 200, the halacha is that all three of them have claims to the first mana. The two other wives have claim to the second mana. But the first wife with the mana is only entitled to a third of that 100. So she should be getting 33 and a third. Why does the Mishnah say that she gets 50? Shamana, asked the Gemara. Natalis Chamishim, why does the Mishnah say that in this case, the wife with the 200 zuz ksuba gets 50? Tlosnu tlosa hudisla. She should really be only entitled to a ksuba of 33 and a third. Answers the Gemara, Amishmul. Our Mishnah is teaching us, is speaking about a situation, because Sevis Balas Messiah Balas Mana, the one who was entitled to the 200 zuz ksuba, writes to the one who has the 100 zuz ksuba, Dinadvarm Ein Lach Mana. I'm forfeiting my right to my rights in the first mana. And therefore, even though the Balas Mana has no claim in the second mana, but in the first mana, the first wife, the second wife, gave up her rights to her in that mana. And of course, the Ritva points out, the same halacha could have been said if the third wife, the wife who has a claim for 300 zuz, wrote this, gave up her rights. The Mishnah, the Gemara gave this example. The Ra and the Meiri say that in order for this withdrawal of rights to be effective, there has to be a kinyan. Because if there's no kinyan, as we learned earlier, somebody who says dinu dvarim, ainli, somebody who just seizes his rights or their rights without making a kinyan, it's halachically unacceptable. It has to be accompanied with a kinyan. And if they write it, that's why the one who gets a mana, since the second wife gave up her rights, so she gave up her rights in a half of a 33rd and a third, and that's why this first wife will get 50. Ask the Gemara, Ehachi, if that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if we're learning that the Mishnah is to be understood, that the woman who has the ksuba of 200 wrote or gave over to the woman of a ksuba of a mana, dinadvar en liyimach, em a seifa, shmasayim v'shashal shmeis, the woman of the ksuba of masayim and the woman of the ksuba of shalosh meis, each get shalosh shalosh shazav, they get 75. So what are we learning? What we're learning is that the mana, the second mana, they're going to divide equally, and that's why each one is getting 50, and each one is getting 25 from the first one. Tamalei, but why can't the third wife, the $300 mana ksuba wife, say, Haslachta nafshe mina, you gave up your rights in the first mana. says the Gemara, because what she says to her, what the wife of the 200 says to the wife of the 300, Mishum the Amrla, Bidinat Varam Hudasloikim Nafshai. I said, I'm not going to get into a issue with the wife, with the first wife, but I didn't say I'm not getting to an issue with you. And that's why my half of the first, I still want to have a share in the first mana, and therefore the halacha is she gets 25 from the first mana, and as we said, she gets 50 from the second mana. Says the Gemara. Then we learned further in the Mishnah, if there were shalosh manas, if there were 300 zuz left over by his husband, the one of a mana gets 50, the one of the Masayim gets a mana, which is 100, and the one of Shalosh Meis gets 150. That's how we divide up the 300. 50, 100, and 150 equals 300. Says the Gemara, Shamasayim mana, if we explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a situation where the woman of the Masayim, of the 200, said to the woman of the mana, that she's din udvarm ainli imach b'mana, that she's giving up rights in the mana. So then, so the first wife gets 50 out of that mana. So then the Baal Masayim gets from the first money, the Baal Masayim with the Baal Sholosh Meis, and the second 100 should be getting, dividing 50-50. And in the first mana, she should be getting 25, as we just explained. So then, why is she getting 100? She should be getting 25 from the first mana and 50 from the second mana. Says the Gemara, 50 plus 25 equals 75. So she should be only getting a total of 75, not a total of 100. Answers the Gemara, Shmuel, in order to be able to understand the Mishnah, is going to explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a situation because Seves, Baal Shal Shmeis, Baal Sayim, that the woman with the 300 Zuz Ksuba writes to the woman with the 200 Zuz Ksuba, or the Baal Smama, Dinu Dvarim Enli Machem Emana. She's completely giving up her rights to the first Mana, but it's only the $300 one. So that means the third wife is not part of the division of the first mana. So the first two wives divide the first mana, each getting 50. She didn't give up her rights in the second mana. So the second two wives each divide the second one by 50-50. And that's why the second wife will not have a total of 100. 50 from the first mana, 50 from the second mana. And the third wife will have a total of 150, 50 from the second mana, and 100 from the third mana, which is only hers, because the third mana is only mortgaged to her, for total that she's going to get 150. And of course, as we said before, the wife that's only entitled to a mana will get 50. Says the Gemara, Rav Yaakov ben Harpakad Mishmed Ravina Amar gives a different way of explaining the Mishnah. Reisha b'shtei tfisas, v'shtei seif b'shtei tfisas. The way to understand the Mishnah, he explains, is not that they had this in total, the total estate, the different values that the Mishnah has assigned to the total estate, but rather what happens was that they took part of the estate and divided in different times. And the Gemara is going to explain how they were divided in these two separate, how they divided in the two separate times. Reisha, in the Reisha, where he left 200, the Baalas Mana gets 50, and the Baalas Masayim and the Baal Shalosh Meis each gets 75. What is the case? The case is B'shtei Tfisas, the Naflu Shim V'chamesha, B'chad Zimna. The first time, 75 dinarim fell to them. And when they came to divide those 75 dinarim, that they all have an equal claim to it. So each one of them takes 25. And then another 125 fell. May ve'esra v'chamisha b'chad zimna. And now 125 fell to them. The Baal's mama that already got 25 from the first time that we identified that 75 fell. So she only has now a claim of 75. Because out of the 100 that she claims, she's already received 25. She's coming out to claim 75. So she gets a share on the in the 75 that of the 125. That out of the 125 that are now going to be divided, she has a claim on 75, so she takes an equal share of that. That's another 25. 25 plus 25, that's how we end up with 50. Now, the out of that 125 that we started off with, that the Baal's mana doesn't have a claim on the rest, the Baal's Messiah and the Baal's Sholosh Meis divide equally because they each got 25 and now they're going to divide equally the remainder. And they divided equally, and that's why the Baal's Mana will end up with 50, the Baal's Messiah and the Baal's Sholosh Meis will each end up with 75. Sefer, says the Gemara, is talking about there were also state feces. There were also, this division was done in two different times, but the amounts were divided, there were different amounts that fell and there were different division. The Nafla, Shiva Chamish B'chad Zimna. The first amount that was divided was 75. That was the first amount, which as we explained in the previous words, they each get an equal share. They all have a lien on that 75. And since they all have a lien on that 75, we divide it equally amongst the three of them. Then, the second amount that fell, in this case, was Masayim ve'esrim chamisha b'chad zimna, 225. The Baal's mana that already collected 25 has now a lien for 75, which she wants to collect. She divides that equally with the other wives. They'll take 75 out of that 225, divide it equally because they all have an equal lien on it, and she'll get, and her lien is only 75, 75 plus the 25 that she already received, equaling 100, and she'll end up with 50. The one who is the Baal's Messiah that already got 25 from the first time they divided money, now she has a claim for 175 denarim because her ksub is 200. She already collected 25. 200 minus 25 equal 175. So 75 was divided. 25 was divided already from the 75 of the second afila has already been divided by all three of them. So that's why all three of them now have 50. So now what's left is 150 of the 225 is left. She has a claim on 100 of that, which we divide equally. So it's 50 and 50. And the other 50 that's left over is given strictly to the wife of the 300 Zuz. That's why she'll end up with 100, the Baal's Messiah, and the Baal's Shalosh Manash will end up with 150. Tanya, it says the Gemara, Zu Mishnas Rav Nosson. What we learned in our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rav Nosson how this estate should be divided if this is the case of the Ksubis. It says the Gemara, Rebbe disagrees. And he says, Ein ani roi dvarav shel Rav Nosson be'elu. I don't agree with Reb Nosson, El Cholkus B'Shava. I hold that they divided equally. And what that means is, according to Rashi, they all have liens. The liens of all of the wives are equal. And therefore, according to Rashi's interpretation of Reb Nosson's opinion, is that each one of them will get 100. Many Rishonim, Rabbeinu Hananel, and many other Rishonim, are very unhappy with Rashi's Pshat. Because according to Rashi's Pshat, the woman who had a ksuba, which was three times the value of the woman that had a $100 ksuba, is ending up with the same amount of money. And therefore, Rabbeinu Hananel has a totally different approach to this Gemara. He says, what we do is, we take the total, that according to Rav Nosson, we take the total amount of money, and we see what share does each woman have in that money. What, how, in other words, the woman with the 300 has three shares, the woman with 200 has two shares, the woman with 100 has one share, and we take these six shares, we divide the six shares with the we take the 300, which is the amount that we have, and we divide it by six. Each share is equal to 50, and if each share is equal to 50, that's how we will apportion the amount that they get. It's interesting that the Rishonim point out there won't be much of a nafka mina between the Tanakhama and Rav Nosson, if that's the way we're going to learn. The only nafka mina will be in a case that the Gemara just spoke about, when it didn't fall in the fila achas. The real nafka mina will be when it fell b'shtein the filas. He won't pay attention to that. We learned further at the end of the Mishnah. V'kein shloisha shetilu, if three people became partners in a business, and then the business went up, Baruch Hashem in value, Chas v'Shalom, it went down in value, we divide it according to their shares. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shnayim Shetilu L'Kis, two people became partners. Zem Monav Zem Asayim. One put in $100 into the business, and one put $200 into the business. And now, Baruch Shem, the business turns a profit. Haschal Emtsa. The profit is divided equally. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mistabra Milsa the Shmuel, when the Shmuel's Psak makes sense, B'shal Charisha V'aymil Charisha, when they bought animal to plow, and that's what they're going to do with the animal, that the animal plows, they rent out the animal for plowing, that's where the halach is, that they divide the profits equally. And the way Rashi explains this is because you need a whole animal to be able to plow. So even though I only put in 100 and my partner put in 200, without my 100, this animal cannot exist. Because the animal has to be, you need the entire healthy animal to plow. And since you need the entire healthy animal to plow, we each deserve half of what that earned. Av b'shar al-charisha, if the animal was meant for plowing, v'oymed l'tficha, now they shech the animal. And they're going to divide the meat, or they're going to divide the value of the meat. Now, when you're dividing a dead animal, we don't have the concept, again, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. We don't have the concept that we just said a moment ago that I need your part and you need my part. When we're cutting up an animal and dividing its pieces, each one of us don't need the other one's part. So then Allah will be, Zed Naitav Fima Yisav, Zed Naitav Fima Yisav. Each one will take meat or take the value according to their share in the investment. Rav Amun Amar says Rav Amnuna, Afilu Shal L'Charisha V'Aym L'Tficha, even in such a case, Haschal L'Emtza. Because he explains, since when they set up the business, they set it up in a way that the profits are divided equally. And again, the Rishonim point out, because when they set up this business, they set it up that it should be l'charisha. And as Rashi explained, again, at this point we're learning with Rashi, a animal that's meant l'charisha, so every part of the animal is essential to be able to do charisha. So they understood that even though I'm contributing less and somebody else is contributing more, the way they're going to have to divide the profit, they're going to have to divide the profit 50-50. Even though if they ended up dividing, selling the animal for eating, And there, each part doesn't need the other part. But since the business was established that way, the halacha is, says Rav Nuna, the schar is le'emtza. That was the original deal, and this is the deal that has to remain all the way. So again, we learned the Gemara like Rashi. The Rashi says, the reason an animal of Harisha, even though each investor put in less, the profit is divided equally, is because one part cannot survive without the other part. Tysus says that the reason that Shmuel says Shol Harish V'Aim L'Harish is divided equally is because there's an assumption, that was their intention how to divide up the profit. And the way I saw the Mefarshim explain Tysus' explanation is because we find many times that even though investors don't necessarily put in the same amount of money into the business, they may be entitled to equal share of the profit because maybe I have more know-how in running the business. Maybe the investor needs me so desperately to put in money that he's willing to let me have 50% of the profit. Tysus gives a different explanation why Shor l'charisha v'omer l'charisha, the profit is divided equally. Tysus says there are two ways of understanding or identifying profit. Sometimes the profit is not connected to the actual keren, is not connected to the actual investment. If we buy an animal for plowing, and the animal plows and we collect for whoever wants to plow with our animal, that doesn't affect the keren. It doesn't affect the actual animal. The animal is fine and separate from the profit. In that type of a business investment, Tysus suggests, the profit is always divided equally. Because the keren in the actual animal, we're remaining partners according to the amount that we put in. Only in a case where it's the actual animal that we're dividing, and it's not, and that the profit is in the animal itself, that the value of the animal went up, but not external to the animal, that's when we divide according to our investment. So the Gemara said, Shal Harish V'Aim L'Tficha, Shmuel agreed that the halacha is that we divide according to the investment. With the explanations that we just gave, it's very understandable. Rashi's explanation is fantastic. Because Rashi's explanation is, here each piece of meat stands separate. And Rav Nuna says that we always divide it equally, and that also is very connected to what we said before. Because the understanding according to Rav Nuna was that we're always going to divide this business equally. And the Yerushalmi says what we said a few moments ago, that the fundamental fact according to Rashi in understanding this Gemara is that when it comes to Harisha, Rashi explained, you can't plow unless you have a whole animal. You can't buy an animal, says the Yerushalmi, unless you have enough money to buy that whole animal. So even though I'm putting $200 into this investment, and you're putting in only $100, but we could never have gotten this animal, says the Yerushalmi, unless we had the whole $300. So even though you're taka putting in less, but we need your less. We need your $100 because without it, we could have never bought the animal. The Sma gives a different explanation. What caused the profit when the animal was bought and then it went up in value? He says, Rav Amnuna says, what caused the animal to become more valuable? The entire animal, each part of the animal, contributes to the healthy animal that goes up in value. That means each part of the animal is dependent on each other. It's not like Rashi explained in Shmuel that when we divide up the animal, each one of us take out as much pieces of the money or of the animal as we put in. What make the animal more valuable is every part of the animal, and therefore we're considered equal partners. But the Rif says, and we made this point, that the Rif says that Rav Hamnuna is only speaking about a case where originally we bought the animal to be l'charisha. We originally bought the animal that it should be l'charisha. And as Shmuel has said, and no one has actually disagreed with Shmuel, that when the animal was bought l'charisha, and not only was the animal bought l'charisha, the animal was used l'charisha. There the Gemara says that everybody agrees that we divide it 50-50. Says the Gemara that in this case, when we started with the intention that we're going to use the animal of Charisha, and if we're going to use the animal of Charisha, the way it's going to be divided, it's going to be divided 50-50. The fact that whatever the circumstances are or were that caused us to change our mind and caused us to now decide that we're going to use, that we're going to take this animal at Ficha, that doesn't have a right to change the original agreement that profits will be divided 50-50. But if indeed the animal, and that's why Shmuel and Rav Hamnuna, that's why Rav Hamnuna disagrees and says that they still should divide it 50-50. But if the profit, if it was not originally identified that's going to be done with Charisha, there Rav Hamnuna will agree that the profits should be divided. If it was an animal that was bought to be sold as an animal, there Rav Hamnuna will agree that it should be divided according to the amount that was put in l'chatchila, amount of shares according proportional to how much everything was put in. There are Rishonim that disagree and say that it doesn't make a difference. There's also an interesting Ravid. The Ravid wants to differentiate between, he says, our Gemara is referring to situations where the animal, whether it was l'charisha, whether the animal was being used for plowing, or the animal was being used for the actual meat, says the Ravid, and there was profit. And the discussion in our Gemara is how to divide the profit. But says the Ravid, in the case if there was loss, there it seems the Ravid wants to hold that everybody will agree that the loss is divided according to the proportion. It needs to be understood, but that's the Ravid. Says the Gemara, Avol Meisvei, asked the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa Shnaim Shetil Lukis, if two people invested money, Zem Mana Vezem Messiahim, one put in 100 and one put in 200, the aloch is a schal emtsa. The profit is divided equally. My laugh, isn't this talking about a case, b'shal l'charisha, v'ayim l'tficha, that the animal was originally identified to be used for plowing and now we shechted it, and the aloch is that we divided equally. But to yufta the rabba, who says that in this case, we divide it proportionally, says the Gemara loy. This price is speaking about an animal that was bought for Charisha and was Oymed L'Charisha, and that's why everybody agrees, as we've been learning, that the profits are divided equally, because each one of us need the other one's part to realize this profit. But ask the Gemara, so the way we're now explaining this Braisa, Avashal L'Charisha V'Te Oymed L'Tficha, if you bought a shor for plowing and then you decided to shecht it, my Warabe Alocha, that the halacha would be zenoitul fimaisuf, zenoitul fimaisuf. There, everybody's going to get according to their proportion. So ask the Gemara, adatani saifa. The Sefer taught us that the case that they divided equally is when everybody bought an animal, one animal, from the money that they bought. But what's going to be the halacha? Lokach zebishloi, if somebody's putting in 200, bought animals with his 200, and Seb Shalai, and somebody that's putting in 100, bought his own animals with 100. And then we both have animals, Venus Arvu, and we combine these animals. And now there's profit, Baruch Hashem. There, since it's not one animal that we're talking about, there's a group of animals. The halacha will be Zen Noitel Fimersiv, Zen Noitel Fimersiv. Everybody will get according to the amount that they put in, because there are separate animals. But if we want to speak about a case that we're dividing proportionally, why, ask the Gemara, Does the Braisa have to say that when are we dividing proportionally? When there are a number of animals that are being combined, we could have said even a bigger chiddush. Lifting the list of bididah. B'medvar mamurim, when is the halacha that they divide 50-50? B'shalach harisha v'ayim l'charisha. B'shalach harisha, if an animal is born l'charisha v'ayim l'tficha, then everybody will agree, zed noitel fi yosef, zed noitel fi yosef. And we don't have to speak about many animals being combined. Says the Gemara, hachi nami kru. That's exactly what the Braisa means. The shalach harisha, b'medvar mamurim, that we divide the profits equally. B'shalach harisha v'ayim l'charisha. If we have an animal that was born the Charisha and it's Oymel Tficha, it's the same, the Braisa means to teach us. Nasakami, it ought to be treated equivalently to a case where each one of us has money, bought animals with our money, and then in this Arvu, we combine the animals that we bought. And then this prophet, that there everybody will agree that the halacha zenaytul fi ma'isov, each one takes profit proportionally. Says the Gemara Tanan. Ask the Gemara, but our Mishnah said that shlosha shetilukus, if three people invested into a business, pichso echsira, and then the business went up or down in value, kachen chalkim, we're dividing proportionally, malaf pichsu pichsu mamish, that there was a loss. Hasira sira mamish. Hasira means that there was a profit, and we see that we always divide proportionally in counting to the amount that was put into the business. And Shmuel said that isn't the case. Shmuel says that when it was a shalach harisha and oimel harisha, we divide 50-50. So, of course, Tosfos asked the question, why do we have to say that it was Shor l'Charisha v'Oymed l'Charisha? And therefore, we have a question, why don't we say it's talking about a case of Shor l'Charisha v'Oymed l'Tficha, and that the halachas that they divide proportionally? Says Tosfos, the Ritva, Tosfos say that Shmuel really holds, which is not the Pashup Shah and the Gemara, that the profit is always divided equally. And here it seems to say that the profit is divided proportionally. Another explanation that the Rif gives is because it was normal that Shor l'Charisha was Oymed l'Charisha, and that according to Shmuel should be divided 50-50. To say that the Mishnah speaking about a Shor l'Charisha v'Oymed l'Tficha, that's unusual, and therefore it doesn't make sense to explain that Mishnah that way. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, lo yesiru, what it means is, chanucharitei, what it means is like this, in those days money was valued according to the way the money looks. So what happened was that they invested, people put in coins, older coins, and they were able to successfully do business with those coins, and they got new coins. Since each one of us put in coins, and the person that put in 100 put in 4 coins, and the person that put in 200 put in 8 coins. So we're taking out coins that we put in. Just Baruch Hashem, we started with weaker coins, and we're ending up with better coins. And Pichsa would mean Asir de Tsunosoi, that somehow they started with better coins and ended up with weaker coins, but each one is taking the amount of coins they put in. In such a case, where it's not really an investment, it's just taking back coins. We started with coins, and we end with coins, and we end with the same amount of coins that we started off with, everybody will agree that we divided according to proportionally the amount that we put in. Says the Mishnah Mishai Nasi Arba Noshim, somebody who was married to 4 wives, Umeis, and he died. And they're coming to collect the ksuba. So the wife, Harishayna, the wife who has the first ksuba, and she was the wife that he married first, her ksuba is the earliest dated ksuba, Kadem Slashnia. So she has a claim before the second one. Shnia has the claim before the Shlishis. The Shlishis has a claim before the reviews. So not a first wife, who we just explained has the first claim. Rishona, when she comes to claim Maksuba, Nishbas L'Shniya, she has to swear to the second wife that she didn't take any money, because the second wife has a claim on that money. And since she has a claim on that money, and as the Rishonim point out, even if she doesn't voice a claim, but Bezdin requires that the first one, if she wants to collect her money, should make a shvua, because the halacha is that you can't collect from nechasim mishubadim. You can't collect from money on which there is a lien, and this is money on which there is a lien, because there's a lien to the second or third or fourth wife on this money. Ein nefraim nechasim mishubadim el b'shvua. And therefore, the simile, when the second one comes to collect taksuba, she has to swear to the third one, because she's collecting the chasum shabbat, the money. Same thing when the shlishis is coming to collect to the revius. Revius, the fourth wife, could collect without a shvua, because there's no claims on this money, and therefore she could get without a shvua. But nanas ama v'cheib nei she achroina, because she's the last wife, niskeres, that she shouldn't have to swear, but therefore he says, af hi lo tifra el b'shvua, and the Gemara is going to explain why. Says the Mishnah, this first case of the Mishnah was speaking strictly in a case where all four, where the four wives did not get married at the same time, and the four ksubas do not have the same date. The first ksuba has an earlier date than the second earlier than the third earlier than the fourth. But let's say how kulas yoytzes b'yom echad. All four ksubas were written on the same day, and the reason the Mishnah uses the word yoitzis, the Rishonim explain, because all four of these women, yoitzis, left their father's home and went into the husband's home on the same day. But, as we're going to learn, was about to learn, in Yerushalayim, when they put a date into the ksuba, they didn't just put a date into the ksuba, they put a time into the ksuba. So a person, even though all four ksubas were written on the exact same day, but they were written at different times in the day, the earlier written, the ksuba that was written earlier in the day, has precedence over the ksuba that was written late in the day. And he says, it says the Mishnah, the minig in Yerushalayim were that they wrote times into the ksuba. And as the Chasam Sof explains, what the Mishnah means to say is that the Yerushalayim, they wrote a time. So just like everywhere where they write a date in a ksuba, of course they're careful to write a date that's the proper date. The Bezdin, whoever's writing the ksuba, make sure that he gets the right date into the ksuba. Here too, when they wrote the time in Yerushalayim, they were particular to make sure to write the exact time. And how you calling Yotzei B'Sha'achas, says the Gemara, but however, let's say they all have the same time in Yerushalayim, Vein Sham Elamana, and there's only 100, there's only a mana in the estate from which these four wives could collect the ksuba. So as we learned earlier in our shir, in the, if all ksubas are equal, that's going to the way we're going to learn this Mishnah. They all have equal lien, and their time is the same also. So that's why they divide this one, this mana, Cholkus Peshava, they divide it equally amongst the four of them.